My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My special guest, Dr. David Wormser, Center for Security Policy, hour number 2. If you missed any parts of hour number 1, I hope you'll pick it up. You can get it through our podcast. And again, we had Rick Manning on. We talked about several different topics. We talked about the debt ceiling. We talked about Michelle Obama running for president as a potential issue, and several other issues to go along with that as well, and then Dr. David Wormser and I had a very in-depth conversation about the internal fight that we're in, and historically looking and saying, you know, are we in a place in history right now? That is fully unique, Have we ever really seen all that we're seeing right now before around the world? And obviously, you know, from a Judeo-Christian perspective, Dr. Wormser is a very astute historian when it comes to the overall history of Judaism, but the history of the world as a whole as well, because of the studies that he's done relative to the geopolitical impacts of all of that on the decisions that he's had to be a part of as an assistant and as a helper in structuring policy. So I welcome Dr. Wormser back to the program. Good to be with you, sir.
It's great to be here always.
All right, my friend. I want to get into to the Israel situation specifically. We were monitoring that over the weekend. Sirens were going off all weekend long. Talk to me about what's happening. And you mentioned as we were getting ready to come into this half hour that what we're seeing is somewhat of a precursor to what ultimately appears is going to happen. So tell me what you meant by that as well.
Sure. So the war that Israel just fought last week, a mini war, was with the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. It's an organization that is almost entirely run from Tehran. But it is a small organization. It has more of a terrorist infrastructure in Judea and Samaria than it does have a missile force in Gaza. Judea and Samaria is sort of in the center of the country, and Gaza is sort of off to the south and west toward Egypt. Hamas is a country is really the ruler in Gaza, which is again an Islamic Brotherhood, radical Islamic terrorist organization. They have lots of missiles. Islamic Jihad had a very limited amount. But even so, over the period of a week, they rained down on Israel 1,500 missiles. Unless you think most of these missiles are small, teeny little things, you know, nothing more than glorified firecrackers, they're not. Some of these are 9-meter missiles, 20-foot long missiles, maybe a little bit less than that. There are some 9-meter, but very few. The most of them are about 6 meters, which are about 18 feet, 20 feet, with a warhead that can easily be 100 to 200 pounds or more. So they can do a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. These are not minor little things. 1,500 of them. There were 3 Israelis who were killed. One is an old man, one is a lady who was, and one was an Arab worker from Gaza himself. The Israelis allow Gazan Palestinian Arabs to come into Israel to work.
Right.
And he was a father of 6 who was working on an Israeli farm, helping, you know, working with the Jews, and he was hit by a missile from Gaza and killed. So, 3 killed, but a real testament to the missile defense forces that Israel has, that only 3 people were killed and very few were injured when 1,500 missiles were shot into Israel.
That's 1,500 missiles, folks. Just
correct. In 1,500. 5 minutes, that's roughly 300 a day.
Wow.
Then you have on top of that mortars and anti-tank missiles being shot at on the border, which can go in a kilometer or two.
That's like 15 missiles per hour.
Yeah.
So that's a missile every 4 minutes.
Now, why I say this is a minor thing is what it does is, you see, you have to understand the Israelis are very precise when they strike back. So precise that in most buildings that Israel hits, it does what's called knocking on the roof or knocking on the door. It sends a tiny little bomb that is basically a firecracker that hits the roof of a building, and that tells the inhabitants of the building, you have about 10 minutes to clear out. Wow. And then we're going to bomb the building.
Okay.
So it's a warning sign. Nobody gets hurt. What so precise is the Israeli stuff that you see life in Gaza go on pretty much normally, and people gather around these buildings once you have this knock on the roof, because they know that the bomb will fall precisely and that they can watch the fireworks of the building being hit. So the Israelis take great pains. But the point is, the irony is, even though it's the Islamic Jihad sending the missiles into Israel and so forth, they're actually living their lives, going to the market, stores, and so forth. The Israelis, though, the missiles are random. They're trying to hit cities and try to kill civilians. So when the sirens go off, Israelis have to be in a bomb shelter. So life comes to a stop. So you have 300 missiles a day. Life comes to the stop for a week.
Absolutely.
So Israel is shut down. And the Palestinians actually go about their lives, even though both are in the middle of a war. The Israelis, though, also showed something of the future, which is they didn't bother to do massive destruction of Islamic Jihad structures. They went after the leadership. They went after the jugular. And in the end, they killed 7 of the top 15 leaders. And I think the Israelis, this is a new strategy. I mean, they've used the strategy of killing leaders before, but maybe one or so every once in a while, to kill almost half of the top leadership in 1 5-day period is a decapitation strategy.
Does that
is, I think, what the Israelis are signaling will be their strategy in the oncoming war.
Does that throw, though, the other side into such chaos? I mean, isn't there some risk then relative to who takes the place of the people that they take out, and what kind of response does that end up having? I mean, I understand when you cut off the head of the snake, supposedly the snake will die. But in this instance, we're talking about a belief system that is ingrained in the people to say to the sea, you know, wipe out the infidel. I mean, it's not as though it's not like there's just a couple of head guys and then the rest of them are just kind of, well, we don't know. I mean, you got probably at least 65 to 70% deep penetration of the Islamic belief system.
Yeah. And I think this is where it really has to go, is they deterred to some extent Hamas, the big one in Gaza, which has many more missiles than Islamic Jihad. They have the ability to shoot maybe 400, 500, 600, 700, 1,000 a day on Israel, and bigger missiles and longer range too, that can hit anywhere in Israel.
Right.
But so the Israelis managed to break the unified front image by isolating the attacks on Jihad, and Hamas kind of sat it out, which shows that there's not a unified front entirely. But it's a very dangerous assumption, because at the end, I think Hamas sat it out because this wasn't the war they were intending to fight yet.
Okay.
When the war comes that they do intend to fight, you're going to see all the fronts unify. So I think the confidence is not that well placed. That said, the other thing too is, you know, ultimately, if you're going to go after decapitation, all these organizations are essentially instruments of Iran. Which means if you don't touch Iran, you don't touch any. You're going to get this backfill,
right,
and they're going to tap the Islamic fervor, and you're really going to win in a Western sense. You're going to win, but in terms of a Middle Eastern Islamic sense, you're not, because they're going to survive and they're going to have as many people fill their ranks as they need to.
And you create martyrs.
The only way to really defeat this threat, Islamic threat, is to so devastate its core that it stuns ideologically Islamism. And that means Iran itself. It's bringing down the Iranian regime. That's what will bring a period of calm. Period of calm, though, I emphasize, because we haven't solved, and it's a whole series of questions. We have not solved the problem of either Sunni Islam or long-term Shiite Islam. They're not, you know, we destroyed Al-Qaeda and we got ISIS. We destroyed ISIS and there's still this Sunni. It shocked them. And it's bought us now a 10-year period where clearly Sunni Islam under the Al-Qaeda type threat is on the defensive. But the Taliban won a year ago, mm-hmm. and they're coming back.
Yeah,
and they'll keep coming back, and we'll keep.
Well, I was just going to say, but that, you know, scripturally speaking, that's exactly what the word says. There's going to be forever enmity. I mean, there is no turning this off. There is forever enmity, and now. You know, I know that within Christendom, you know, there's a lot of conversation because there's a tremendous amount of Muslims around the world that are getting the gospel of Jesus Christ and that are converting. And there are a lot of imams, you know, because their whole thing is about visions. We want a vision. Well,
I want to see what happens in Iran. The hatred that you see in the population of their religious establishment is so deep that, you know, there are some Iranians who have mentioned that it may be the first country to de-Islamify.
Unbelievable.
There's a secret Christian expansion, a Christian following, rising. In Iran, people are looking back at their 2,500-year history, and that brings them back to Cyrus, the Persian Empire, and Zoroastrianism, which has internal problems resurrecting itself because they don't believe in intermarriage at all, even converted intermarriage. So that's a numbers issue.
Yeah.
And then you have the Baha'i, which are... a sect that was originally Islam long ago is really not Islam anymore. Their actual headquarters had to move to, of all places, Israel in the last 70 years. Mm-hmm. So the Baha'i Temple in Haifa is beautiful gardens. That's the center of Baha'i, but that's the big faith, another big faith. What I'm trying to say is Islam may be defeated to some extent in Iran, because the Iranian regime so defined itself around it and so abused it. Well, abused it. I mean, you know, there is a problem. You read the Quran, you read the hadiths, which are the sayings, and you read what the history was.
Right.
You know, I was involved in our government when we kept saying it's a civil war in Islam and it's a distortion of Islam. It's not for me to say what's a distorted form of Islam. And I'll tell you, it's when you see al-Baghdadi and al-Qaeda and bin Laden, I can't say that you're not going to see precedents.
Well, I David, I'll just say, and you can find this in our older recordings of our program with al-Rasuli, who's a man who studied the Hadith and the Quran for almost 40 years. And has put out a million or $1.5 million challenge against any imam that would debate him on anything that he says, because he quotes the Quran, and he would tell you that this concept that the Bush administration was a part of suggesting that Islam was a peaceful religion and these were just radicals and whatnot is nonsense. It's pure, absolute, unmitigated nonsense, and Islam in and of itself is a very violent belief system that says you must end the life of the infidel. You have two options with them. You either subjugate them or you kill them. And the option of the infidel is be subjugated or die. That's it. And that's not radicalism. That it's not a radical part of Islam. It is the heart of what Islam is.
Yes. I feel sorry for some Muslims who try to be good and they understand this problem and they're trying to overcome it somewhat. Like the UAE and there's, you know, the tri-faith place they set up. But that said, you're absolutely right. Islam still holds that there is Dar al-Islam, Dar al-Harb. Dar al-Islam is the world of Islam. Dar al-Harb is the world of the sword. Harb is sword. And you know what that means. There's, you know, that's number one. Number two, the word Islam. There's so much propaganda out there that is wrong. What does Islam mean? Comes from salam. Now, we keep thinking, oh, that means peace. That's wonderful. And then Condoleezza Rice, in her attempt to bring around the Muslim world, said peace and love. Salam comes from the Semitic root, just like Hebrew shalom. It comes from the Semitic root for submission. It means submission. It doesn't mean peace.
Subjugate.
Yep. Exactly. And we all know what jihad is. You hear all this stuff. Well, jihad is just an attempting to be good and fight your evil. Those black-hatted extreme Orthodox rabbis have some of their studies where you talk about the Yetzer Hara, which is the evil temptation, which is essentially the temptation toward evil that people face. It's not a fight against that. It is part of the Dar al-Harb, Dar al-Islam, the world of Islam versus the world of the sword fight. It is a war. It's not me saying this. One of my PhD professors very early on was an 80 back then, 40 years ago, was an Iraqi Islamic scholar, Majid al-Kaduri, and he wrote the definitive book on war and Islam. And it is inherent to what the faith believes.
Right.
So it is very difficult in this world of propaganda and disinformation to get over this. But, you know, the more you read the Quran.
And that's why I say, so the answer, ladies and gentlemen, is a God intervention, a real true God intervention. And that's part of what's happening and why you teased into it a little bit regarding the uprising of Christianity in Iran. The reason for that, and Kamal Saleem, my friend, have talked about this on my program here 5, 6, 7 years ago and has been talking about it repeatedly. Imams throughout Iran are having in this vision, because that's what they do. They go into this place and they seek a vision. Well, in their vision, Jesus Christ is showing up in their vision, David. They're seeing an apparition of Christ that's coming into their vision, and it converts them. And it converts them. So you have imams who are influencing thousands of Islamists who are coming out of this vision and saying, no, let me tell you about who the true Savior is. And they follow the imam and they go, oh, okay. Well, and then they have their own conversion experience. And it's massive. And it's massive.
And I'm sure that you're going to see this in Iran.
Yep.
You're going to see this in Iran.
Yep.
When the veil... Sorry about when the veil is lifted.
The
lid comes off.
Yep.
And the regime falls. You're going to see some will be genuinely inspired by vision, and some will see where the tides are headed.
Well, and right, absolutely. And so you're gonna see some variances of it. But in the meantime, what we're watching right now, we got about 3 minutes left. In the meantime, what we're watching right now is a significantly gathering storm around Israel, literally on all sides, internally, as well as, because we put up, remember, folks, we put up the map for you about a week ago, a little over maybe a week and a half. There is a battle that is happening from Gaza. And then you've got both to the north, to the south, to the east, and right in the center with small pockets of Arabs as well. Israel is fighting a war on every front.
So what you saw last week with the 1,500 missiles, when the balloon goes up, you could see multiplied by 100. You know, when Hezbollah has 500,000 missiles pointed at Israel. And many of them are very large. They even have some that are 750 kilogram warheads. It's a 1,500 pound bomb. And they're precise. The ones that are Hezbollah has are precise. They're right. Guided.
They're more like the knock type that Israel uses.
Exactly. And then you have Hamas, which has a lot. And then you have Yemen. Way down to the south, they have those same drones you see crashing into Ukraine. They have those drones from Iran, too. And then you have Iran itself. And then you have the internal Palestinians in Judea, Samaria will rise up with mass terrorism. And then you have the Israeli Arabs. Again, most of them are loyal. Mm-hmm. But you don't need more than 10% that aren't to create real danger. They're armed. Imagine 10% of the U.S. population rising up against the government with weapons.
Well, you bring that over here, and I would suggest that you've got the invasion we're going to talk about with Mark Morgan here in just a couple of more minutes. But B, you know, the violence that's happening on the streets of the city. You have two incidences, one in Chicago that I highlighted this last week, where we talked about four individuals that said that they were out looking for someone to shoot. And you had almost the exact same statement made by the youth that were down in Florida as well. So in right. two different parts of the country, you had the same situation where these individuals were out looking for someone to shoot. And in both instances, I believe they shot police officers. So it's deadly. And this is what Al Sharpton gave us in his National Action Now Network. This is exactly what they said. And I remind everyone of the statement of one of their leaders after the five policemen were shot and killed in Dallas by the sniper. He came on air and on live interview as the chapter leader in Dallas of the National Action Network said, my only regret is that we didn't kill more. In live TV. All right, we're going to take our break. Mark Morgan is with us. There's the alarm. There's the siren going off again, folks. I'm telling you, it is serious. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. Dr. David, thanks for being with us. We'll update folks throughout the week as things happen there. We'll keep you informed. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this break. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Do anything, but I should be angry, right?
Yo, coming in right now. I agree with you. All right, welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And I am so very pleased to welcome to the program the former Custom and Border Protection, and I'm just going to say it, the Custom and Border Protection Chief. Okay, say that now that it, now that it, now that yeah now that you're not there because you could they barred you from saying anyway. I want to welcome a gentleman who I also consider to be a friend and a brother in Christ, someone that I have prayed with and prayed for diligently now for a number of years. I want to welcome Mark Morgan to the program. Mark, welcome. Good to have you.
Pastor, thanks for having me, and I have greatly appreciated over the years all the prayers and all the thoughts because I need them, because there are many times that the footprints image have come to my mind, and when I was struggling and frustrated with what's going on, I knew those weren't my footprints in the sand, so I appreciate I have sincerely appreciated all your prayers.
Well, I thank you for that. I thank you for that, sir. Well, we were talking about this as we were in the green room getting warmed up. And, you know, it doesn't take much for the fire right now, I got to say. I think we both are on the same page relative to this, folks. And that is that there is an anger, a deep-seated frustration and a righteous anger.
Yep.
Not just, I mean, obviously a righteous anger about, you know, a breached border and a national security issue there, but a righteous anger too about the toll on life, both American life and those that are being used and abused as tools and puppets by these very evil forces.
Yeah, Pastor, I couldn't agree more. I spent all last week actually on the border in El Paso, physically on the border. I talked, I walked, I drove through the community of El Paso, which I used to call home when I was in the FBI for a couple of years. Uh-huh. We talked to residents there. I think you and I were talking in the green room. We had a town hall where a big group of residents came. And I can tell you, they're angry. They are, and they're frustrated because they feel like their federal government has abandoned them. They don't feel safe in their community. They don't feel safe in their home. We heard from a longtime third, fourth generation rancher who said that she does not feel safe in her own country, in a home in the United States. I heard stories where people are armed inside their house and not like a shotgun leaning by the front door, literally having a weapon on their hip in their home because they're terrified. And the last thing that I can say real quick is when I was there, if anybody's listening right now, I'm literally begging you to please set aside your ideology, set aside your politics just for a few minutes and just be honest about the facts. What I saw down there once again confirmed for me, once again, the inhumanity along our border is real. The death and destruction is real. The risk to our nation's safety and national security is real. Americans are dying every single day because of our open borders and pasture. Migrants are dying and suffering every single day from our open borders. Meanwhile, as you said, our federal government, they're lying to the American people. Secretary Mayorkas was on the Sunday talk show once again claiming victory and absolutely lying about the truth or reality what's going on at our southern border.
All right, so you're down there and you're monitoring, obviously you're seeing what's happening, you're talking to these people, you're getting these live updates on what they're seeing. Talk to me about this impact of the rescission of Title 42. Now, somebody said to me that, oh no, there was a judge that put some kind of a stay on this, but I didn't find anything to that effect. I didn't find that to be a reality. So what is the impact of the rollback of Title 42?
So it really played out the way a few of us were saying. We knew the numbers were going to increase, and they were going to increase substantially, but I didn't think they were going to maintain at that for a while, because I knew that there were going to be a couple of things that are going to be done. So what we saw about 72 hours or so leading up to Title 42 ending, we saw a spike to about 10,000 a day in a 24-hour period. That's just border patrol apprehensions. Now I want to make sure very clear that is the highest number in a 24-hour period in our lifetime, ever since we've been collecting data. That's very important to know. But now what we've seen is a couple of days after Title 42 ended, which was Thursday, we've seen the numbers go down a little bit and go back to where they were, which is about 5,000 or 6,000 every 24 hours. And I want to really emphasize those numbers are catastrophic. So we saw this initial spike. It's gone down a little bit. But again, 5,000 to 6,000, that's still catastrophic. And here's what's very key. Here's why those numbers did not stay at the sustained amount of 10,000. Two things. One, Governor Abbott out of Texas under Operation Lone Star, they pulled a playbook out of the Border Patrol a couple of decades ago called Hold the Line, where they literally put their troops and National Guard on the physical line, put Constantina wire and other barriers, and they refused to let migrants illegally enter. They redirect them to a port of entry. So that's number one. That had a substantial, significant impact. Pastor, the second thing is what this administration is doing. I call it a perversion and violation of the law. Here's the deal that they've made, the tens of thousands of migrants that are on the Mexico side in those camps. They said, look, we're going to let NGOs, non-governmental organization employees, come down there, embed themselves into these camps, and help you fill out the CBP One app. And if you do that, then we're going to drive you literally to the nearest port of entry where we will process and release you in the United States, knowing that 90% of them are filing fraudulent claims. So all they did was hold them, tell them to hold, and funnel them from illegally entering to the ports of entry. They've legalized otherwise illegal activity, and they're claiming victory.
Wow. I mean, it's stunning, because these are individuals that even the mainstream media is reporting, Mark, they will not show up for those hearings. They're not going to come back for those hearings. And mainstream media now is finally actually reporting on this. It's so bad. I want to point out something else, too, because we were talking just a moment ago about the victimhood of those that are coming across. There's a video out, I've posted it on my Facebook page, that shows a picture of just this massive amount of individuals crossing in. And the woman who is reporting on this said that there was an 8-year-old girl that was found down at the border, and she had in her 67 different male DNA when she was examined. 67 different men's DNA inside of her 8-year-old girl. Mark, this is and they want to talk about humanitarian efforts. This I don't it's incomprehensible to me.
It is, and that's why, and I haven't heard about that specific case, but Pastor Greg, what I can tell you about, that's why I get so fired up and I get angry when Secretary Mayorkas says that he's developed a safe, orderly, and humane illegal immigration process. First of all, it's an oxymoron. It's a blatant lie. I've been there. Look, Border Patrol lives will never be the same when they've interviewed a 14-year-old girl who recanted that she was raped multiple times. We know that CBP has recovered over 1,500 dead migrants at our southern border because of this administration enticing them to come. We know that 30% of young women and children are sexually assaulted or raped, as you said, on their journey up here. And we know that their exploitation doesn't stop. We know that even after they enter the United States, then they're thrust oftentimes in a life of trafficking. It goes on and on and on. We know the 350,000 unaccompanied minors that have been enticed to come here over the past 26 months, that this administration has lost track of over 85,000 of them. It's unconscionable. It is the antithesis of humane. And that's one of many reasons why Secretary Mayorkas, I call him the most dangerous man in this administration, and he needs to go. He needs to be impeached. And if I can, I want to make it very clear. And Pastor, you and I have talked about this before, and yeah. I've been really trying to get more people to pay attention. Not only should we look at what's happening in between our borders with those illegal entering, we've called that catch and release, right? Border Patrol is literally catching them, and then they're being forced to release them in the United States. Well, there's a new phrase I'm using for the first time on your show, enter and release. So what they've done by this CBP One app, again, they've told people, please stop illegally entering and filing fraudulent claims, and we'll release you. All you have to do is walk up, enter a port of entry, continue to file a false claim, and we'll release you. So now we have a duality happen. We have catch and release in between the ports, and we have enter and release at our ports of entry. That's where we're at right now. And there, when you have both catch and release and enter and release, here's what you don't have. You have a strategy that there's no deterrence, there's no consequence, there's no integrity system by reducing illegal immigration and fraudulent claims. And it causes our borders to remain to be unsecure. That's what this administration is doing. And they're lying to American people and saying, look how we've created this lawful legal pathway. It's all a shell game. And it's a perversion of law.
One of the other things that is bantied about, per se, and that I believe, by the way, to be valid, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, and that is that every city is now a border city. Because of the way that they are, I put up again another video of a journalist that is just, you know, going off about the fact that that our own government is busing these people out to different places further up into Texas and further up into the country, and trying to prevent journalists from even reporting on it, blocking their view, blocking their ability to be able to, take a camera shot and so forth, and literally roughing up the Americans in defense of the illegal aliens that are coming across and being put into these buses, most of whom are military age men. And I want to develop that story a little bit further too, based on some things that we're seeing relative to shootings and literally two incidences that I talked about last week, where an individual said that they were out on the street looking for people to shoot.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, Pastor, and you're spot on all of those. The one thing I will say is I think we have to be careful and not attack or condemn any of the men and women on the front lines actually doing the best they can. This isn't their fault. This is about policy. And, this is about leadership.
Yeah, and this individual, by the way, says that. He's like, look, I'm not attacking. You guys are following the orders. This is what we're aiming at is the management, the That's leadership. Right. The ones that are telling you to do this, Those are the ones that, because they're putting the border agents at risk, by the way. Go ahead.
That's exactly right. That's right. The three main people, right? So Secretary Mayorkas, the vice president, and president. Ultimately, it rests with those three individuals. And again, why we say every state is a border state, Pastor, you're spot on. Let me give you just a couple examples. So the Heritage Foundation did a study where they were able to lawfully obtain 20,000 individual cell phone data of illegal aliens. And they tracked them as they crossed and they went into NGO shelters. And then they followed where those cell phones went. And they discovered just 20,000, a small percentage of right. the millions. And they found that those cell phones went to over 332 of the 335 districts in the United States. So, yes, everything that's happening on our southwest border does not stay at the southwest border. The illegal aliens themselves are making to all the way to all 50 states. The drugs, the criminals, and potential national security threats don't stay on the border. They make their way to every state in this country.
Well, and you are, I know, you know, a part of FAIR, which is the Federal Immigration Reform Organization, yep. And I quoted their article on Friday. An estimated 700,000 illegal immigrants gearing up to cross our border. I mean, that's half the population of San Antonio again coming in to our country. That's not all going to stop in Texas. They have to make their way further up the chain.
They do. The majority of them do not stay in border states. I mean, that's the fact. And that's the one thing that's been very frustrating is you've got somebody in Missouri or Vermont. And because their perception is that they're not impacted by the border, they ignored it. And I tell you, they're wrong, Pastor. They're wrong. They're impacted. They just don't know it. Drugs. If anybody's listening to this right now and you hear of a fentanyl overdose anywhere in your state, you're impacted because that fentanyl came from the southwest border. As crime is increasing in your state, I guarantee you that the southwest border is impacting crime in your state. I'll give you a quick stat. From 2011 to 2022, 261,000 illegal aliens committed 433,000 crimes, including 800 homicides, 800 kidnappings, and over 5,000 assaults. You know what the mic drop there is, Pastor? That was in the state of Texas alone. We had 1.7 million total gotaways in the last 26 months. 1.7 million. Among them are murderers, rapists, pedophiles, aggravated felons, sure. and gang members, and they are not staying on the southwest border. Those criminals among the 1.7 million have made their way to every town, city, and state in this country. American people have to wake up and realize they may not see it like they do the economy when they fill up their gas tank and go to their grocery store and eggs went up. But I promise you the southwest border is impacting them. They just need to wake up and realize it.
Well, I think one of the ways, too, that it's impacting is the influence of MS-13 on American yeah. gangs. I mentioned just a few moments ago talking about the individuals that said that they were out looking for someone to shoot. That is the kind of mindset and behavior that MS-13 brings into these neighborhoods and cities. One of the ways that they send their message, that they announce their arrival, is random acts of incredible violence in order to put fear into the community and in order to basically announce their arrival. And we're watching, you know, these were black youths that were engaged in this, but it doesn't really matter because I think that the influence of MS-13, maybe I'm mistaken, you're the expert in this, I throw this to you, but it seems to me that the influence of MS-13 is written all over this kind of behavior.
I supervised an MS-13 gang task force when I was an FBI agent assigned to Los Angeles division. Pastor, their motto is rape, kill, control. They are MS-13 is one of the most powerful, prolific, dangerous, violent gangs, transnational gangs in our country. And they are in all 50 states. Yes, they are powerful, but we have other gangs that they don't need any influence. They are in themselves very powerful and influential. And here's why this is important. Gangs across our country, they are an extension of the Mexican cartels and the smuggling operations. They are the entity that actually acts as the final leg of the cartels to actually distribute the drugs into your communities. So when you see gangs and you hear about gangs operating in your communities and the violence that's associated with that, and I promise you, there is a ton of violence in every major metropolitan city associated with gangs. The connection, again, goes back to the Southwest border and the drug smugglers and the Mexican cartels. It's all connected throughout every state in this country. Again, people need to understand that what's happening on our border does impact. And this is not about immigration. What's happening on our border is about illegal immigration and border security. But as illegal immigration goes up, resources are pulled off the line. The large areas of the border go unpatrolled, unmonitored. We literally had operational control over the cartels so they can increase the drugs, criminals, and potential national security threats going across our border as they watch their bank accounts increase and our nation's safety and security decreases.
When we talk about, just as another note to that, when we talk about, you know, what they are doing down at the border, obviously we know with Mayorkas they're not doing a whole lot. They seem to be really opening this thing up. Is there any hope that our current Congress can make some kind of a difference? Where do you see us moving at that particular level?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes or no? Yeah, my answer, I'm sorry, yes and no.
Okay.
So we just had in that the House that the Republicans passed, it's called HR2, a border security bill. Now, in my opinion, it doesn't go far enough. It's not strong enough.
Okay.
Full stop. However, I can say that, but at the same time say it is the strongest border security bill that's ever been passed. So there's a lot of good things in there that'll go a long ways to allow us to actually secure our border and take control back from the cartels to safeguard our nation's safety and national security. But here's the problem is, number one, not a single Democrat voted for it. So it shows just how divisive our border security has become. And this is wrong. This should not be a red or blue issue. It
right.
should be a red, white, and blue issue, number one. Number two is when it goes to the Senate, it's not going to pass. And the White House has already said it's anti-American and all this other BS that's just not true, Pastor Greg. So even if by some miracle it gets through the Senate, we know the White House is going to veto it. So it's dead. And so it's really what we call nothing more than a messaging bill. But it's very, very important because there were two Republicans that didn't vote for it. So we need to remember that in the 2024 elections. And then as we get to 2024 elections, we need to know who didn't vote for it. And we need to go to the polls and vote for politicians that understand the importance of border security to safeguard our nation. And then we need to hold those that we vote in accountable to actually make it happen.
Let's bring this back down to the kitchen table, so to speak, and the impact that this has on families individually and their communities, their children, schools, things of that nature. Talk to me about what you see as the on the ground impact of the kitchen table, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's, Pastor, this is the key. And this is why I keep saying that our, in this country, our compassion has been hijacked.
Okay.
One of the things that makes this nation one of the greatest nations on the planet. People need to understand. I think it's a challenge, though. The economy, people get it because they literally go and they fill up their gas tank and they feel it. They go to the grocery store, like I said, they buy a carton of eggs and they feel it. They're ordering stuff. The supply chain has been impacted. They feel it. We could go on and on. With respect to the border, they don't feel that tangible stuff,
okay.
But it's there. And again, we've already talked about a lot of this. Gangs. I know everybody listening here knows about gangs operating in their territory. A good reason why those gangs are thriving is because of the drug trade. And the drug trade is fueled from the cartels coming across our southwest border. Fentanyl that's killed 100,000 Americans in a 12-month period. More Americans died from all the terrorist attacks, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Vietnam wars combined. Anytime you hear on TV or you hear about the fentanyl epidemic in this country, you're impacted because the fentanyl is coming from the southwest border. When you hear about crime, I promise you, when you have 1.7 million illegal aliens evading apprehension, and we know there are murderers, rapists, pedophiles, and gang members among them, crime in your area is impacted. And the last thing I'll say is the national security threat. Again, 1.7 million. We know in 26 months, this administration, the Border Patrol, have apprehended more illegal aliens on the FBI's terror screening database than any other time in history. Right. My question is, how many illegal aliens on the FBI's terror screening database are among the 1.7 million? Mm-hmm. There literally could be the next sleeper cell planning the next terrorist attack in this country, and we would have no idea. It impacts you. You've just got to look, and I don't mean to America. You just got to wake up. They need to wake up and understand and make the connection. Even though they don't feel as tangible as they do the economy, it's just as real and it's just as dangerous.
Well, and you've got, you know, them coming from the Middle East. You've got them coming from China. China's beginning to bring cells in. They've realized that they can influence what's happening here by bringing people illegally into this country. We've got just a few minutes left, and I know you've got a hard stop coming up. So I want to talk about something that we didn't get into. I touched on it briefly regarding that young lady in the 67 sex trafficking and what's happening with regards to that. My understanding is that we've seen a huge uptick. I watched a movie with Jennifer Lopez last night called The Mother. And if you haven't seen it yet, the impetus of it is that she is involved in arms dealing, and somehow gets a hint that something's not quite right. And she goes and she opens up a container and finds a bunch of children in it. And that begins the spiral of her becoming an informant, becoming a target of these individuals, and so on. But it's all centered really around, and the movie just touches on it. They don't really hammer on it, but it's about human smuggling and children in particular.
Pastor Greg, this is the thing that I'm the most outraged. Why every American isn't behind securing our borders and stopping the flow of illegal immigration. And I mean, with all due respect, they're either become ignorant because they're driven by their ideology and they cannot see the truth in the facts, or they're allowing their politics to drive them. This one issue alone, we could spend the next 2 hours talking about all the other issues, but the unaccompanied minors, I want to reiterate, 350,000 unaccompanied minors have made it to our border in the last 26 months. 350,000, and they've come because this administration has said, if you get here, we're going to let you in, and you're going to be able to stay. But here's what happens. When those numbers, there were some days when I was the commissioner, Pastor, where that number was like 8 or 9 a day. And we're talking about 1,000 a day at some points, right?
Yeah.
And so think about that. What happens is, and we know, as you increase illegal immigration, how many more young children, women were sexually assaulted and raped on the journey up here?
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand why every American isn't outraged and say, we have to do everything we can to stop that. And then again, once they get here, how many unaccompanied children and young mothers have died trying to cross the border illegally because this administration said, we're going to give you the promised land. And then once they get into the United States, after they've been smuggled in, guess what? Many of them, countless, then are thrust into the life of trafficking, as you just talked about, sex trafficking, labor trafficking. I could go on and on. Again, I mentioned before, this administration, once they find them, their goal is to get them out of custody and find them a sponsor anywhere they can in the United States as fast as possible. They're not doing home visits. They don't know who else is living in the house. And they've lost track of 85,000 of them. That is unconscionable. That is the very definition of inhumane. Again, securing our borders has no downside. Less Americans will die and suffer, and less migrants will die and suffer.
Well, and when you talk about caring about, you know, women and children, which supposedly that's what the progressives are all about. Well, it's except now they're all about, you know, murdering little babies and chopping up women and turning them into men. I mean, the hypocrisy of their policies is absolutely sickening. It's just sickening.
Pastor Greg, I agree with you. Their feigned outrage is just that. It's a lie. It's smoke and mirrors. Yeah. If they truly cared about the migrants that they profess, they would secure our border. And then we would have discussions about how we can adjust and look at our legal immigration process. But to allow what's happening now, there are migrants are dying, Americans are dying, and our safety and our security is being jeopardized, full stop.
It's unconscionable. It truly is. Mark, I know you've got to run. God bless you. Yep. Thank you for all that you continue to do. I greatly appreciate it. Hopefully, sometime after 2024, you're in a position to actually take charge again and put a stop to all this nonsense. We appreciate it. God bless you, brother. Thanks, take care. All right. Bye-bye now.
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.